All right, welcome to After the Rose, a Bachelor Nation podcast put on by DogHatesFilm.com. Megan Cruz and Molly Leach. We're coming to you live from my attic garret bedroom. We've got a really high tech situation happening here. How are you, Molly?
I'm good, Megan. We're talking about episode one with Britt versus Caitlin. So this is serious business. Last week we just sort of covered the show. Now we're really getting into it with the two-night bachelorette event that was last week. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and we're really excited.
Which is already, it's already set me off on the difficulty of trying to figure out how to make all of that watching happen in one week. They love to bring another episode in there, but
it was seriously like we saw that it was a two-night event and we're just like, oh my god, 4 hours. Fuck. And then the first episode was 2 hours, and then the second night was only 1 hour, and I was like, hey,
where's my fourth hour?
And we've just been, I mean, like, Megan's obviously been on her tour, but like, I was in Portland. I finally came back. I just got back from Michigan. It's just been like a whirlwind, exciting life for these gals.
Yeah. Where did you watch this episode?
Oh, this episode, Monday and Tuesday night of last week, I watched at my ex-boyfriend's house. Long story. I'm just living there. No big deal. I watched it on his SD, standard definition TV, but I watched it live Pacific time. But we're a little behind, but hopefully in the next week or two, we'll get it all like, by the time we're recording this, episode two has already aired, but we're gonna watch episode two as soon as we're done recording. So we're really excited. So
yeah, and this is the first time that we've really set up with a true Bachelor Nation style party. Mm-hmm. We are in my bedroom.
We're together after like months apart.
After months apart, we've got horrible glasses of white wine with ice. Uh-huh. It's not Sutter Home, but it is a similarly it's like, trashy brand.
No. So it's the fancy shit. They don't know. They cheers. Don't know what it is. Dorothy, my dog, couldn't make it. You're not gonna miss her. She was there with me watching the episodes, but you know, she was snoozing, so
yeah. So. She's a real introvert, you know? She doesn't like to cast about her opinion about...
She might be the only person who truly is above the Bachelor. Some people will claim to, but then they'll watch one episode and suddenly they're sucked in, but Dorothy, no. Anyway.
Well, welcome again. And we're kicking off our second episode talking about the first episode, the two-night Bachelor event.
Megan, let's not get it confused. We're going to call this one episode one. The first one's episode zero. The first one's zero is sort of like a pilot. Now, this is episode one. For the two episodes, but
okay. And in our true MFA style, you want to do a little workshop of last week?
Yeah, we're gonna do a little bit of workshopping on last week. Let's try not to make a habit of this, but we just wanted to cover some things. So, you know, that was our first time doing an episode. So let's see. One thing I felt like when I was talking about all the women, I felt like my one criticism of all the women was that they were boring, which is like, that's sort of my go-to for any woman that I think is like prettier than me. I think that they're boring. And it's also how I feel about like all indie rock music, like The National or like Arcade Fire or like Grizzly Bear. But anyway, women.
About the animal?
No, about women. Wait, oh, what?
Grizzly Bears?
No, Grizzly Bears are awesome. The band.
Okay, the band is boring. I didn't know that was a band. You took some genre leaps from...
I just feel like maybe I was a little misogynistic. Yeah. I was a lot misogynistic when I only meant to be a little misogynistic. But anyway, I'm working on it. Not all the women were boring. I'm sorry. Anyway, that's all I have.
I think I was informed by a sports ball enthusiast that my breakdown of the Montreal Screwjob was entirely erroneous.
Wildly inaccurate.
But to be honest, like, I'm still defensive about it because I never got a clear understanding of what I had said that was wrong. It's like some really nuanced sports ball talk where mm-hmm. I misrepresented something. But so this is a public plea to anyone who can really explain to me what I fucked up about the Montreal Screwjob, because mm-hmm. I maintain the theory is.
Point. Never heard of it, but it
was right
to
on
me.
Time with that. I think, like, I don't. I mean, if anyone could explain to me, I understand that I may have gotten some specifics wrong, but I would actually really like to hone my sports ball metaphor so that we can bring an understanding of Bachelor Nation to a wider audience through sports ball.
Another band's boring. Interpol. But anyway, okay, let's get to, all right, as I'm sure you know, this was a new season of The Bachelorette, like, total game changer where we've got Britt versus Caitlyn. Usually there's just one Bachelorette and she's a goddamn princess and, like, but
Andy was untouchable, like,
yeah,
I liked her, but I felt myself being played by the fact that I liked her. That's
the way it's going to be from now on with Caitlyn. Like, she's now the princess. But, like, that first episode, like, they really just put him through the ringer. And sort of a really mean, almost, like, women-hating way of, like, I mean, I don't know if they're going to repeat this experiment, but I almost want them to just because I feel like they need to put two men through that. You know
right.
what I mean?
Well, and I'm having trouble. I don't want to jump the gun on talking about what happened, but I'm having trouble trying. I'm not sure if the outcome that they got from the responses, because Britt was very much like, this new premise makes it more organic, and it's really, I don't think you can use the word organic.
There's nothing organic about The Bachelor.
I know, it's like Shirley Jackson's The Lottery, it's like The Hunger Games or what, you know, what have you.
I know that my problem with dating is that, like, we always have, like, a really great time, and, like, we get picked up on a helicopter, and, like, we connect immediately, and they all fall in love with me, so mm-hmm. that's similar, like...
Yeah, I know, but then sometimes they're not sure if your intentions are really pure, if you really joined OkCupid for the right reasons, or just for all the fame that having an OkCupid.
Well, me as the Bachelorette, my intentions are never questioned. It's the men that I'm dating in this fantasy.
Oh, right. I'm losing the train of the analogy. Okay. No, yeah, but I appreciated how Caitlyn, across the board, maintained that she was like, this actually really sucks.
Caitlyn was totally this is bullshit. I feel really uncomfortable. I don't like this. And yeah, Britt is just like, she should win beauty pageants instead of being on The Bachelorette. She's like, no, this is a really great opportunity. And I feel really good about it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we were both pretty much team Caitlyn going in just because she has the better personality. But when you're watching them, like, have to compete like that, you just start to feel for both of them, you know? It really gave me, like, sympathy for Britt, like, because it seemed pretty obvious that it was going to be Caitlyn, even though the show was trying to be like, oh, a lot of the guys like Britt, like, meh. But, I mean, we all knew it was going to be Caitlyn.
Yeah, I'm glad it was Caitlyn. I had this moment when, I spend a lot of time thinking about Bachelor Nation and my role within it, but I was texting with someone, and I was like, Caitlyn's my girl all the way. And the friend said, well, why? And I realized it's because I think of Caitlyn as a model of sort of the way I want to present myself to the world, as someone who's, like, fearless and, bold mm-hmm. and honest. But I fear inside that I'm more of a...
You're more of a Brit?
I'm more of a Brit, like...
I fear that I'm, like, neither woman, and no one will ever want to marry me as a result. I don't remind anybody of their mother, like...
I'm getting off track.
No, I am.
I'm worried about... I do worry, though, that inside me I'm, like, wearing red lipstick, not showering, and coming across as fakely earnest and lying.
Megan, okay. How does she keep the lipstick on her lips like that?
I want her to tell me.
I don't understand.
I dream of such an applicable lipstick.
Are they
such
just,
a resistant hold?
They're just applying constantly, right? Like, is that the deal? Or?
I mean, it really depends. You can get a lot of, like, lip stains that last longer. Like, man. We should go shopping.
I just, like, The second I wear lipstick, everyone's like, "Oh, look who's wearing makeup!" Like, nah, it's too late for me.
Remember when I made you wear those really tall boots and you hated me forever?
Yeah, it was really awful. She was like, "No, Molly, everyone will be wearing hooker boots at like the what famous writer was it reading at the fucking?
I can't remember.
He wrote The Ask and at the Sam Lipsight reading. She's like, "Wear these hooker boots. It'll be really cool." I'm clomping like. Oh God, it was really
humiliating. You just had to step into the boots. You had to go with it, and
I feel like you're blaming me.
I am blaming you because I had such heart in the game. I really like. I don't know.
I looked around that crowd and I didn't see a single other person wearing black.
It was the wrong crowd. That's fair. It was the wrong crowd. I just get really aspirational about fashion experiments.
Yeah.
That's if I went on The Bachelor, that would be my, instead of like sports fishing enthusiast, it would be like fashion aspirationalist.
As long as we're just making up jobs.
Okay. So back to it. We've got Britt and Caitlin. Who do you think looked best on that in that opening scene? What was your impression?
I kind of can't stand the half ponytail. And Caitlin,
well, they were doing a side ponytail, like one side of their head. Well, it was
Britt,
really strange.
Yeah, Britt had the side thing, and that was fine.
I thought Caitlin did too.
No, Caitlin had that thing like where it's like half of her hair is up in a ponytail.
Oh, and I wore that.
I wore it a lot in like third grade, yeah,
to high school. I think the reason that I hate it is because it reminds me of my own misery.
I feel like these women are reminding us that like 1992 is back, man. Like,
I know, and that was such a.
Like, they wear a lot of, like, the midriff, time. like dresses, like, mm-hmm. like, top, bottom, like, things, and, like, the side ponytails. It's confusing, because that was a really awkward time for me, and I don't necessarily want to emulate it in my grown-up years, but I guess I don't have that problem anyway.
I guess it's time for us to go buy bodysuits.
Yeah, exactly.
Ones that snap in the crotch.
Yeah, those fashions are not for the chubby either, so yeah, I feel a little left out. But weren't you gonna say something about Chris's like,
oh yeah, I would, yeah, like, I was really fixated. I'm fixated on how they're handling this new format, you know. Mm-hmm. Because particularly, like, Chris comes in and it has this like Michael Eisner before the Disney Family movie quality to it, where he's Did you ever, like, Wonderful World of Disney, where Michael Eisner would come on?
And oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he'll come in, and he gave this long, very solemn intro where he talks about, he calls it he uses all this crazy language of, like, social change and social justice, which I just found, like, wildly, wildly suspect and offensive, where he's talking about how historic it is and how change is never easy.
It's kind of like that Sam Cooke song, "The Change Is Gonna Come." Like, yes, that song is about, like, 60s civil rights for, like, African Americans, but it's, like, also about my struggle to get a boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. It's like taking these.
It's like they're applying the rhetoric into this completely shallow, ridiculous show.
And then there are these moments where you really question their. I mean, I get that the motivation. There's no questioning the motivation. It's about money. It's about selling the Bachelor product. But these moments where I love listening to it and just being like, really? Where it's like, will this be awkward? And possibly a bit painful, sure. Like, so it's like the necessary evil.
Yeah, they're acting like they're not the ones that are doing it. Like, they're engineering this horrible situation. Then they're like, yeah, this is going to be tough for the girls. It's like, then don't do it to them. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's very odd. And he serves as this kind of middle manager. Mm-hmm. He's like, I just have to report down what we have to do for an organic quest for love.
Yeah, there's this very thin veneer of like, oh, this is a game changer and it's designed to like give more options for the men, or like somehow it's in service of love, when in fact, like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, there is something to be said for sort of like stirring the, you know, it's similar to Bachelor in Paradise where they'll get everybody comfortable and then they'll throw another person in. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, now they've set up a premise where anybody who came there liking Britt has to kind of is under criticism and suspect. For now well, being like, oh, actually, yeah. I secretly only love you.
Yeah, they had to flip that narrative real quick. Like, all these guys are like, oh, I'm here for Britt, that's why I'm here. And then, like, Britt leaves. Spoiler, you know, Britt is not, it's Caitlin. I don't know if we mentioned that, but whatever, obviously. Like, yeah, they have to be like, oh, no, I guess I can really see myself falling for Caitlin now. Like, oh, I've changed. I don't know.
Or, like, I had a different idea of you. Now that I've met you, it's completely changed. You told me you like family. But, yeah, I mean, spoiler, I don't think it's we're a little behind the times, but I'm trying to figure out, and, like, what do you think in terms of, like, how much of this they are now, you know, now it seemed like this giant letdown where said, mm-hmm. they're like, here it comes. And I thought maybe they were going to try, they stopped the first episode and then started the next one with the hanging, you know, the trailer hanging about whether or not
the votes were in at the end. Yeah, the votes were in at the end. And then, like, Tuesday night, the next night, it was like, now we're going to reveal who the winner is.
Yeah. And they never counted them publicly. Mm-hmm. Like, Chris Harrison just came in. And,
good point. How do we know?
Did you hear he has a book out, by the way?
Yes, Megan.
We have to book club it. We have to create a book club just for this.
This is like a suicide pact where I'm like, you shoot first. I'm totally going to follow.
He said he read a Nicholas Sparks book and he knew he had to write.
A really earnest romance novel. Yeah, like it's sort of...
It's called like The Promise.
It's like he really does just love this shit and really believe in it.
Like, yeah, it gave him like this real ethos about what he's doing. But so... They didn't count the votes publicly. He just sort of took her aside as though he was sparing her dignity. as though that was this great favor he was doing and they hadn't.
Yeah, he was like, I'm sorry, Britt. Like, the votes are in and it's not you. And Britt was so classy about it. She said, it's not your fault. And I'm like, kind of. Like, it's kind of his fault.
And she also said, like... I really didn't see this coming.
Yeah, yeah. She's crying in the limo on the way home, and she's on the way to the hotel, and she's like, I honestly didn't see that coming. And it's like, what? You didn't see... 50% chance. Like, and you didn't see that coming. Like, there's something to be said about optimism, but I mean, like, the glass is half empty as well, you know? You really have to consider, like...
I think we should do a coin flip, and then I'll just bawl afterwards.
Just be like, oh my god, I thought positively, I clearly think I'm hotter, like, you know? Oh my god.
But I also think, I mean, I guess my prediction is that they're going to heavily... My original fear was that they were... I guess we kind of texted about this from across the state, and I thought it was potentially they were going to do two. They were going to make us watch two tandem seasons of The Bachelorette, Britt and Caitlin.
I have to take a moment and credit my friend on Twitter, Amanda42, that's spelled Amanda, D-U-H-42, which is hilarious, Amanda42. But because she was telling me, we were live tweeting, and she mentioned, so we're getting ahead of ourselves, but one of the contestants was, like, drunk and crazy, which always happens. Somebody always gets too drunk at these things. It's like they put them there for, like, 6 hours, and there's booze everywhere. Somebody can't handle it. 1 out of 25 really should have been higher. But so anyway, he got super drunk and, like, got Chris Harrison pulled him aside and is like, hey, I don't think you're here for the right reasons. Like, you have to go. So he left. So what that did was it made it go from 25 to 24 contestants. And Amanda was like, dude, they're going to have it a tie now. Now they're splitting the vote. It's going to be a tie. And I was like, oh my God, you're right. I was so convinced. But I mean, and if they had done that, it would have, like, I feel like it would have, any integrity that the show had, we all would have known that it was engineered at that point, right? Like, oh, it's a tie, like, we can't believe it, right?
Right,
like,
but I mean, at the same time, the way that they did it, where they just, they build it up, and then kind of just whisk Britt away, also made me feel like maybe they were working towards that and weren't getting the reception that they, I guess, yeah. I don't know. How far in advance do they have to do this?
I think they didn't think it through. I think they were just sort of like, this is going to be, maybe it was just for getting ratings for that first episode, you know?
Yeah, because it clearly has to be taped far enough in advance that they couldn't be gauging, you know. They're probably tuning into your and my perspective, man, trying to get our finger on the pulse.
You know what this reminds me of? This is a sad story, and I'll make it quick. I had two friends that were living with me when I was, like, in my early 20s, John and Travis. And, like, I thought it would be so funny. Like, I got them a Christmas present, and I got them both a GameCube for Christmas.
But what's a GameCube?
It's like a Nintendo like game console from the early 2000s. So I got them this GameCube.
How much were you making at that time? Money bags?
I was a pizza delivery girl. We were living it up, man.
I know, you're the most generous
I've
of all.
Never been so rich. it was for both of them, you know? So
anyway. Oh, I see. I thought you got, like, you were, like, making it rain in GameCube.
It's pertinent to the story, because they lived with me, so they only needed one GameCube. So what I did was, I thought that this was going to be so funny, I wrapped up the GameCube, and gave it to John, and he opened up his present. He was like, oh, GameCube. And then I was like, Travis, here's your present. And Travis is like, oh, man, John got a GameCube. Like, this is going to be just as, like, awesome. And, like, I just put a big rock in a box for Travis. And I thought it would be so funny. I was like, oh, just kidding, Travis. Like, your present is also the GameCube. And he was, and it really was just, like, sad. Like, it was just really depressing. I realize now that what I should have done was given Travis the rock present first. And then it's like, oh, just kidding. Like,
or giving them both rocks.
Yeah, I mean, anything but what I did.
Whoever got the right. Let's talk about it in advance the next time we think about it.
we'll workshop my prank gifts. Anyway, but that's what this felt like. It felt like, oh, so we just send Britt home. Like, nobody liked Britt, really, but, like, we don't want to see her humiliated and crying. Like, you know, it was just sort of sad. And I don't think they'll do it again. I think that they were like, experiment.
Well, so, okay, let's talk for a minute before we get into the nitty gritty. Let's talk about the potential. I know this is not going chronologically for the show, but since we're on Britt and Caitlin, like, it seems like they are with the Brady thing. So,
oh yeah.
So
tell them about the Brady thing.
So Nashville's aspiring singer-songwriter Brady, who is possibly past the age cutoff for the show.
35 is a goddamn dinosaur. No, I don't know. Why do you think he's old?
I don't know. You said we were past the age cutoff.
Well, no. What I meant was we were, like, at the cusp. It's usually between, like, 24 and 30. With the men, obviously, they're allowed to be a little bit older because that's just the way society works. But keep talking. I'm going to look up how old he is.
No, yeah. He's, I think, like, 35.
He's 33. Okay. He's my age. Bitch, get out of here.
He loves Coldplay, The Lone Bellow, and David Ramirez. I also like how you made 35 so much older than 33. That's going to hurt for us as it comes in the next couple of years, knowing how you scorned 35.
I know, right? I'm like, ew.
Get out of here. You can't come to Bachelor Nation party number 1 or 2 or 3.
I did notice that there was at least one 35-year-old contestant on this season. I don't know who it is, but, I mean, they're out there. But anyway, go on, Brady.
He also, in his bio, he says that being married to him means learning to share your life and heart with another human, raising a family, compromising for the sake of one another, and laying your life down for another person. Which I think is sort of like, I don't know.
You're going to go down a rabbit hole if you keep reading.
I know, you're right. It's like a rabbit hole. Like, I'm like, are you a cop? Are you a suicide bomber? Like, what's happening?
One thing I want to say about I read all the bios, and I'm a big movie person, so a lot of people, instead of their musical taste, they list their favorite movies. And there wasn't one man that had, like, acceptable movies. Like, a couple of them would have, like, two good movies, and then, like, Dumb and Dumber. And so
there's
many of them.
Of, like,
so
Adam
many
Sandler
of them love
stuff.
Dumb and Dumber, Wedding Crashers. It's like, yeah, people are looking. Don't. No.
Well, I mean, it begs the question, too, of if those are actually their favorite movies, or that is their impression of what their favorite movie should be, which
that's
is
almost
even
worse.
More troublesome.
Yeah, anyway, I was really disappointed.
Like, you hide that shit. Like,
really disappointed.
Up until you and I sort of came out with this. Well, I didn't really hide my love of The Bachelorette, but it's all right.
I don't want everyone to know.
Too late now, Molly. Too too late now.
We're getting off track.
Okay, but so I am curious about... So Brady jumps off the set. He's like, my heart was with Britt.
He stops the rose ceremony midway through, which is always a villainous move. Anytime anybody does that, the other guys are like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, everyone gets very upset about that. It's like somebody taking too much power in the moment of their forced submission.
Yeah.
So he leaves and runs to Britt, who is apparently accessible. He's like, take me to Britt.
He goes to Caitlin and tells Caitlin that he's there for Britt and he has to follow his heart. And then he goes to Chris Harrison and says, I need to go to Britt. And Chris Harrison is like, we can arrange that.
Chris is like, this is the plot of my new novel. Life imitating art. You know, so they go and so there's this new potential side plot. And I am curious about, like, how likely is this to continue? Has this happened before? This is my third season, so.
Well, Megan, I would say that it's 100% likely that this will now be, like, they'll cut to them occasionally. I'm pretty sure I saw some stuff on the internet, like, they're dating, like, this is gonna be, like, a side plot romance, because they're not gonna want to throw Britt in the fucking garbage and then, like, set the garbage can on fire. Like, they're not trying to do that to her. Like, so they cut to her crying in the home.
Such a violent analogy.
Pardon me.
You could have been like, they're not going to snub her.
That's what I want to say to people in workshop, like, oh, I think that you should take this story and put it in the garbage and then set the garbage on fire.
See, this is why I fear that I'm a Brit. I want to be like, there are just, like, wonderful things about this story. If we find the right audience, it'll feel really organic.
Brit's gonna get hers. She's fine. Yeah, so, like, yeah, so shot of Brit crying in her hotel, another shot of Brady, like, going in a limousine to get her. Like, it's clearly they're gonna follow up on this. So okay. Don't worry about Brit. Don't worry about Brady.
Okay.
All right. I'm exhausted.
I know.
No, we gotta rally.
I know.
Okay.
We got so much Bachelor to handle tonight.
Oh, we...
I'm gonna lean on you, okay?
Okay.
Just getting close here at Bachelor Nation.
We've had, like, half a glass of wine. Megan's taken her shirt off. Not really. Okay,
are
let's...
you sure?
They don't know.
All right, let's talk about... Yeah, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of what happened on the episode and these men.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the men. So there's 25 men. Let's see. We covered the drunk guy who just, like, showed up and, like, got super drunk. He said something like he had a really great line that was like, dude, why aren't we all just, like, why am I not raping you right now? Or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was his comeback to to one of the other guys.
Sexually violent and aggressive. And the dude was like, whoa.
Like, I feel like that was the line that tipped him being on the show, which...
Yeah, they're like, hey, no homo here.
I do think that it has to do with, you know, that was him overstepping, because at what point, you know, people are wildly...
Actually, I mean, like, everyone takes off their clothes and jumps into the pool. Yeah. Episode zero, that's just the thing.
If we had a pool, I would do that right now.
Yeah, sure would. Yeah, we had to turn off the fan, we're dying in here. But, no, what set it off was that he pat Caitlin's butt.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what did
and
it.
And he was just, yeah, he was... This is where the... apologies to all the sports ball fans, but this is where my Montreal Screwjob analogy comes in again, where it's like, is he acting of his own volition? Is he really that drunk? Or is this, is he the orchestrated drunk guy being like a super douchebag? Because he really was an over the top.
It's hard to believe that somebody would deliberately represent themselves like that on TV.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. Usually the drunk person.
Was he the junkyard specialist?
Oh, God.
I think he was. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll get into all their hilarious jobs. But I don't know. Yeah, I hope so. But, yeah, I mean, usually a drunk person, like, they're, like, falling over in the ceremony. And usually, like, they either, like, get eliminated that night or they last for one more week and they're like, I'm sorry I acted that way, like, and then they still get eliminated, like, soon. But he was just like, he was a mean drunk, you know.
Yeah.
He was harassing the other people. He made fun of Cupcake Guy.
Oh, Cupcake Guy.
Tell him about Cupcake Guy.
Chris, I think he's my... So he got the first kiss. Did he get the first impression rose?
He didn't get the first impression rose.
But he got the first kiss.
I don't even know if he got the first kiss. He got one of he two kisses. He got a kiss. I think he did get the first kiss, yeah.
Okay, so
Caitlin kissed two men, which is like a world record.
I love Caitlin. Caitlin is I want to hang out with Caitlin.
Yeah, she won't. She won't.
That seems funny. She's not going to be your friend.
Maybe she will.
Thanks. So, no, Cupcake Guy, he is very... he's a dentist, and he keeps coming in with all these amazing, like, puns, sort of. He rides in closed up in a little rolling cupcake.
Yeah, it's like a car that is also a cupcake.
But a tiny car, like a car to go, mm-hmm. but smaller, shaped like a cupcake. And it's also very, like...
It was adorable.
It's adorable, but also a little bit emasculating and humiliating, too, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Which made me love him more. Like, he's like, here I am at a cupcake! So, I don't know. He's sort of my front runner for at least the first half of the show. I think he's
going to go far. And I wrote down his...
Earnestness really is underrated, I think.
I think that it's impossible to tell whether they're actually being earnest. But at least if they're, like, if that's, like, something that they're trying to convey, that's laudable, you know? I did write down that he was my favorite movie person because he said Social Network, which is a great movie, Dark Knight, which is a great movie, and then Dumb and Dumber, which is a stupid movie, and any grown man should be ashamed of themselves. But he got the closest.
Didn't they make a remake of that movie?
They've made a sequel and or a prequel and a sequel. Oh, yeah, they're really riding it till the wheels fall off.
I don't even remember what it was about.
My ex-boyfriend probably loves that movie. Anything with poop jokes or...
What's your boyfriend? Oh, I know.
Quiet. We're not getting into it.
I just wanted to know.
I don't know why I'm even doing this.
I agree.
Okay, what else? Who else?
Who else? There was Ian. He has a very... He is a template for the... Like, this show, you have a story, mm-hmm. and you milk the story, and it is your formative story. It's sort of like... like, I feel like it's what... lesbians call their root, you know, when everyone's like, that's my root.
Megan, you're gonna have to explain that further.
It's sort of a joke, but the idea that you'll be like, oh yeah, like watching high art when I was 16, that was my root.
That was my root too. I mean, I turned out
high art.
I mean, it's a good movie. But yeah, that movie
it is a very
gay.
Sexy movie, but
Foxfire.
Oh yeah.
No, I used to rent so many lesbian movies and my family was always like, Molly, you can tell us. Like,
Foxfire was amazing.
Yeah, like, it's a pretty good movie.
Just to make me feel awesome, I'd like to go to a bridge and walk along it in the nighttime and you could just refer to me as Legs. Despite the fact that my legs are pretty short, so maybe you should be Legs. And I'll try to, like, coax you down.
Let's
It'll
just
be great.
Reenact that movie.
I've gone too far, huh? So the root is similar to the making story. The story that, like, makes you who you are, that you're desperate to share with the Bachelorette, because then she will know that it's you that she should fall in love with. And Ian's story is pretty solid gold. It's like, he was hit by a car. I think it was a car accident.
Pretty sure it was a car accident. Yeah. He was a college track star. And he got in a horrible accident, and, like, they told him that he could never run again, and cut to
him, like, working his way up, and now he is running again on the beach in little
running
shorts.
On the beach. And yeah. He's, I don't want to get in trouble trying to guess his ethnicity, but, not white, like, maybe, like, vaguely black, I don't know. I sound like a fucking racist, I don't know. But he's not white, and he made it, so we're rooting for him.
And yeah, he looks like he's multiracial. And then there's Jared.
Thank you, Megan. Where were you when I needed you? I know. Multiracial. That was. Sorry. We'll cut this. Do you want some?
Yeah.
I can't find the. Megan, keep talking. We can't.
I'm sorry. We're having a Bachelor Nation party moment where we're like, hey, you want some hummus? You want some, like, more wine?
I was looking for the white wine. Whatever, the white wine's lost. We're switching to red, everybody.
Okay, so Jared is the next guy. Jared is the one I think he seems very nice. I really can't stand his facial hair. It looks like he did two stripes on the sides of his... He looks like he's trying to dress up like a tiger for Halloween.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. Was he the love man, though? Because that's the real strike. Yeah, he
was
also the one
who was like, I have a secret superhero who wants to rescue every... I'm trying to remember what he said. I have it written down somewhere. He was like,
I'm the love man.
I'm going to rescue the Bachelorette from all the evil men in the world. I was like, already...
And, like, way more, he's taking it way more seriously than we're making it sound. Like, he was, like, it's, like, not a fucking joke. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. That guy's...
He had a t-shirt.
I think he'll last about midway through. I don't know. And his thing was that, like, he was rooting for Britt, so when Britt got eliminated, it became this complicated dance for the men that had been rallying for Britt to sort of, like, shift gears and be like, actually, I could see myself with Caitlyn. So he came up to Caitlyn and was like, I just want to tell you that I voted for Britt, but, you know, I really like you. And Caitlyn was just like, I'm so glad you told me. Like, I don't know. So he got to stay. Like, you know, it takes a lot to be eliminated week one. You really have to be an amateur sex coach.
Yeah, for that you have to like poop in the punch bowl, you know?
You have to get way too drunk, be an amateur sex coach, or like whatever the other two people were that didn't make an impression. Talk a little about the amateur sex coach.
Oh, my gosh. So he pulled up in a hot tub, like, sloshing around.
Like which a is car a, that yeah. was also a hot tub.
Yeah, it was just like a Corvette, but the entire body or the entire interior of the car mm-hmm. was an open hot tub, which is a bold move because your pants are going to be damp and cling to your legs all night.
Yeah, wearing a suit and he steps out of the car like there's water pouring down. It's like, if you're going to do that, like, wear swimming trunks and then change into your formal wear.
Also, I have always thought that the word trunks for swimsuits was hilarious. Like, where does that come from?
Swimming trunks.
Trunks.
It sounds like something that's not in England. Like, yeah. It's specific to us. Or maybe it's the opposite.
All right, I'm not going to go down that K-hole, but...
Megan, I'm literally getting drunk. But anyway.
Didn't mean to. Well, keep it together. It's Bachelor Nation.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Any moment, I still maintain, any moment Chris Harrison could open this attic Garrett door.
There's just really no way.
I mean, how does that happen? I'm very curious.
I think that you have to, like, sign up for it and probably be in the LA area and, like, they probably come and, like, vet it first and, like, there's probably camera crews already there. Like,
nonetheless, we're just going to look up. There's going to be a small knock. I'll think it's a visitor.
And that also, it only happens towards the end of the season, but...
I know, but they're flipping the script on us.
That's true.
Know.
Things change. All if right. Chris Harrison walked in here, I'd be excited.
A rare, earnest moment from Molly Leach. You could really see yourself sending... Mm. Like, you guys would be best friends. See. You could see yourself falling in love with him.
We need to get through this before sloppy.
Get back on track. Let's see. There was Jared. He, the earnest guy that I maintain has the bad facial hair.
Moonshine.
Joe. He has the giant forehead. He's from...
Not a good-looking man.
Let's Ozark or Appalachian accent. He brought her moonshine.
He looks really unevolved. Like.
Yeah. he does have this very,
he was
like,
really
Neanderthal.
Sweet and sort of had, like, a Appalachian accent is what you're calling it.
I think he was from the Ozarks. I'm not really sure. Jonathan was the automotive. He's very bland in my mind. The automotive spokesman. I put down, like... In my notes,
he's from
like
Detroit,
Molly,
though.
Yeah, I was like, Molly's Detroit. Like,
yeah, I'm from
thinking
Detroit.
Thinking you would love him. Yeah. He has a 5-year-old.
He was pretty boring, and he was all Team Brit, and now he's just like, oh, well, time to switch gears. Like, he was very pragmatic about it, which I liked about him. It's like, look, we all know.
Yeah, there's Joshua, who is the welder. I liked him because he ended up giving Caitlyn this, like, gorgeously welded rose, which...
And he's...
I mean, who could resist that? And he was wearing Carhartts, which... Who can resist
and he's
those?
Got a sort of a rad blue-collar job, which almost all of these people's jobs are just, like, moving money around. Like, they're everything that's wrong with the world today. Like, these people's, like, jobs.
They're fake jobs. Yeah, they're like...
Let me just list some of the jobs. Entrepreneur, architectural engineer, investment banker, former investment banker, which I think means... I think that's trying to imply that, like, he's rich. Like, he invested and now he's rich. Insurance agent, real estate agent, And then, like, I thought there was, like, a million fitness instructors.
There were, but they all went by different
things. Yeah, personal trainer, fitness coach. yeah, just a lot of bullshit jobs. But dentist and welder, you know, restaurant manager. But, I mean.
Well, and the proof was really in the pudding with that rose he welded. I'm really impressed. I just would like one of those
roses. The rose was really beautiful. I think I'm saying it here. I think Joshua's going to go far.
Yeah, I think Joshua and the dentist are going to go far.
And then, okay, so then another front runner is Sean B., who, he sort of looks like Ryan Gosling and,
Ray Fiennes. A poor man's Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, he got the first impression rose. Like, Caitlin was like, oh, man, I think he's hot when he first showed up. I thought he looked a little hipster, like, he had sort of, like, a funny haircut, and, like, honestly, I don't like any of these men. None of them are my type at all. Yeah. But they will. Hopefully, they'll grow on me as we learn their personalities. But I mean, it might go the other way. But
I wasn't particularly drawn to any of them. But I like the dynamic. I think there's going to be an interesting dynamic between, like, playing the welder and the dentist off each other, because they're both, like, the only ones with really clear career paths, really clear carved out.
You've heard it here first.
Yeah, and then. But they're also, it's like blue collar versus white collar.
And from my history of watching the show, whoever gets the first impression rose does not win. Like, sometimes they make it a while. Sometimes they end up being a total villain, but they never, trying to think if any of them have ever made it to the fantasy suite. I think Nick might have gotten the first impression rose.
Oh, he did. He did. Oh, yeah.
We'll get to Nick later.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy thing.
Also,
with Nick.
I was just tossing through my notes, through them. and the person I was watching it with, I would quote, "Are these people for real?"
I was like, that's what they said.
That's what. That was what the you friend said? I was watching it with.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's. I mean, that is the question, right? That's at the heart.
That's what we
of
all
the
want
theme.
To know. Oh, before we can't not talk about Tony the Healer.
Oh, Tony the Healer who had a black eye.
Yeah, what the fuck is with the black eye? Like, was it a yoga move gone wrong? Like, he wasn't talking.
I don't know. He seems really unstable and in a funny sort of, like, the woman who always seemed to have done a lot of mushrooms before she went on the episode. Like, he seems a little ungrounded.
I feel like they were really making fun of him. So the first great thing that he did, well, first there was his intro where they, like, go through his history and he's just like, I'm really into, like, healing and energy and, like, I'm an introverted person that's about to, like, go out there and, like, blah, and, like, I don't know. He just sounded, they're really making, like, that kind of thing sound douchey, which is, you know, typical of mainstream whatever and also maybe true. But the great thing that he did was, so he goes up, so the premise was the two women are just, like, standing there, like, waiting for the men to get out of the limo, and he walks up to Britt, and I wish I had written it down, but he said something like, love, it's just like a thing that, like, blooms between two people, and, you know, hopefully maybe it will bloom between us, like, just something trite and stupid like that, right? But, like, from the heart or whatever, and Britt was like, oh, that's so endearing. And then he walks over to Caitlin and he says the exact same thing. Like, they're standing 5 feet away from each other, right? Like, these women are not stupid. Like, and then he walks inside and they both look at each other like, and Caitlin was like, like, he just said the same fucking thing. Like, I don't know. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Like the amateur sex coach, who, he gives his reveal about his sex coaching where it's like, if I came up to you and I was like, Mom, I'm really this great expert in something.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Great expert. But then his one contribution is to tell her a very basic, piece of advice about how to use, like, butt toys, and then she asks him more about his coaching and he's like, well, I haven't really gotten started yet, still waiting for someone to practice with. Like,
maybe,
like,
that's,
you can't
why
step into that mantle yet.
Yeah, right,
like, son, you gotta, like,
maybe come up with, like, a different fake job if, like, you've got nothing on the table for being a sex coach. Other than a thing that we all know about anal toys, which is that, like, you shouldn't stick something up that you can't pull back out again. For Christ's sake.
For clarifying.
Pardon me for getting crass.
Well, no. What's his name? Already went there.
Right? I didn't bring it up. He did. Oh, and then the other thing that Tody the Healer did, so, like, when they go into their room, they, like, have to put their rose into, like, a wooden box. And so he was like, when I got here, I thought for sure that I wanted Caitlin, and then I just felt this energy with Britt. And so he puts both of his hands on the boxes, and he's like, I just felt this vibrating energy towards Britt's box.
Sorry. I missed that.
Oh, yeah, that happened. And so he voted for Britt. And then when it was Caitlin, like, they showed a shot of him, like, sitting by himself, like, I don't understand what happened. Like, he, like, couldn't believe that his, like, psychic prediction didn't come true.
But in that way, like, he and Britt might have been meant for each other, because they're both, she's like, I don't see how this could have happened.
He switched gears, though. He was just like, well, I mean, the universe speaks in mysterious ways, and I still want to be on TV.
Yeah. So,
you know.
God knows why, but yes.
Oh, man.
All right, maybe we should move on to...
Let's start talking about the spoilers that they had for the
are gearing up right now to watch the next episode.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what we learn that you might already know.
We're gonna get on a better schedule.
Stick with us, man. It's new shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so preview of the next season. Like, so I'll drop the first crazy thing. We just talked about Nick, who was on Andy's season and was eliminated. Was it like second, like last? Like
it was. Yeah, he was.
He was the runner-up.
He was like
right
after. He was either the runner-up or he was right after the.
They did the fantasy suite. Because remember, at the after the Rose tell-all, he was a real fucking.
Yeah, he made it.
He was like, why did you make love to me if you didn't love me?
Right. And I don't know if it was like either he has sex, he's somebody who like regards sex in this heightened, powerful way, and it was just that. But I also felt like there was some inference that they like, you know, did intense things together, and now he was sort of putting her on blast to the nation, to Bachelor Nation.
Yeah. But he was totally calling her out for, yeah, it was, what's, I'm trying to think of the word when you like, oh, kiss and tell. Total kiss and tell. Total fucking tell. Look, we all know you fuck in the fantasy suite. Like, there's no need to, like, make it so explicit.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, again, this, like, criminalization of... Mm. Criminalization of women who, you know...
Yeah. When the men, it's like, they're just expected to. Like, yeah. No one would ever question it. But anyway, Nick was a real villain for that whole season. None of the other guys liked him. His scarves were ridiculous. Like, he...
He was snivelly, masculine, totally. Yeah. I think he was cocky.
Yeah,
he's
was
what
really
I see
cocky.
JJ becoming on this show.
Yeah, you gotta watch
totally
out.
Like, yeah, totally snivelly and totally egotistical and entitled.
He was like, he's the I'm not here to make friends guy.
Yeah,
there's always a couple. Yeah. So anyway, like on this like montage of like what's to come, they imply that Nick just like shows up. Caitlin is like, oh my god, and like kisses him. So I don't know if they have some sort of history off the show, and like it looks like he's gonna be a contestant. Like he just joins the cast, and all the other dudes are pissed.
Or
like,
he's loitering around the
or
set.
Or he's just there.
Apparently, maybe after you're on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, you just kind of move to some sort of, like...
They give you a
like
VIP
the Hershey
pass.
Company back in the day in Pennsylvania when everyone who worked at the factory lived in Hershey.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Like, maybe it's something like that. Maybe all the... previous and future
That's
Bachelor
That's probably what it is, Megan. All the people that used to be at The Bachelor just live on the compound.
Like, come on.
Wander
I
onto
mean,
the set.
Don't pretend
I'm sorry,
that
I'm
there are other parts of this show that don't make you suspend your disbelief.
I mean, yeah, I guess. It could be that they all live together on the show.
Once you go Bachelor.
So we do not know what's going on with Nick. We know that the other guys don't like him. And then the biggest thing, of course, is Megan. What does Caitlin do?
Oh,
what is this
she evil clearly,
thing
yeah, she
that
clearly
Caitlin does?
Sucks someone. And now I wonder if it's Nick or like. I wonder if Nick comes on and she fucks him
I think
on the
it's
side.
Nick.
Or
I think it's Nick.
Did you just decide that because I said it?
No, I thought that we talked about it before where I said that it
Oh,
was
you
Nick.
Probably did.
I'm not copying you. No, I mean,
I'm probably
I don't know.
Copying you.
Oh, we're not copying each other. It's a natural
I
progression.
I love you, Molly.
I love you, too. Yeah, no, I mean, we don't know who she fucks, but she fucks somebody before the fantasy suite. And, like, and it's and she's really weepy and repentant about it. And they're, like, playing this, like, dark dramatic music. Like, oh my God, like, what has she done? The people are, like, accusing her of, like, I remember there's a sound clip of some guy being, like, I think that you just want to, like, be on TV and make out with a bunch of dudes, which I just feel like is the, like, cruelest accusation. It's just like, no shit, like, what are you on the show for, dude?
Right. Like, and her, flashback to, like, you know? Crystals, who only like had was able to only answer for the same behavior to women he also had the power to, like, dismiss and scorn, you know, like, no one. It's like, these are people in, because they are in the submissive position here, they get to critique her, and even though she is, I don't know. I'm not being very articulate, but
I think that she is a funny, classy, fun girl, and all these dudes are losing their mind over her, and they're getting a little catty, and that's what happens. That's what makes the show
and
good.
I don't know if this is, like, my lesbianism or something, or, like, but when she'll look at the room and be like, I think my husband's in here. Like, I look at that crowd and I can't, like, really? I don't know. Yeah. Wouldn't you be a bit disappointed?
I remember I was, like, at my temp job at, like, a scoring facility, which will remain nameless, filled with, like, 200 people, and I looked out onto the group, onto, like, this, like, field of cubicles, and I was like, it's crazy to think that my husband could be in this room. And, that's not true. <It's> so stupid. I'll never talk to them. I hate them. Why would she think that? I mean, I guess it's a different thing, but
you gotta, yeah, the buy-in.
It's just like, maybe.
Maybe our next ex. Well, never mind.
Are you saying that maybe we should drink less next time?
Yeah, I was also thinking that.
This was only my second. I don't know what happened.
I was like, maybe we should, like, try to get on there. And then I realized, like, that was a terrible idea. No. And also, like, we're both dating people. And, like, it also just, I don't know, just seemed like an awful idea. But
no, I think we should workshop that idea. I think we could.
Would you go on? I'd dress you up.
It would take a lot. It would take a lot to get me TV ready, girl.
No.
I'd be like the token plus size loser, and I'm not, like, Bachelor Nation, I'm not even that fat. It's just like, I'm not TV skinny. Like, it would just be like, that would have to be my story. Like, oh, she's a size 12. She has a weight problem, you know? Oh. Like, I'm not willing to go there. I'm not going to be on. No, we're not doing that.
All right. We'll axe it.
Yeah.
We'll axe that idea. So, we are about to watch the next episode and gather our thoughts about that. Do we have anything else we need to cover?
Oh, man. It's just been a whirlwind. I think it's going to be a great season. I do. I think Caitlin is a great bachelorette. I'm really happy about the choice.
I want her to keep her spunk, though. Keep her spirit. I feel like she's...
I think she is. She did sort of imply, like, she was like, I'm, like, I don't feel like I'm a bad person. I made a mistake, you know, like, with the sex thing. We don't know the details, you know. And I'm sure they're going to drag it out forever. Like, we'll never, like,
yeah, it'll be like the Jade Playboy thing in the last episode where we'll get it around hometown visits. And it will be much less intense than...
I'm going to try to stay away from the internet for spoilers because I hate spoilers. I don't want to know who she fucked. Like, I want it to be a surprise. And anyway,
I love spoilers.
Spoilers often lie, too. Like... Like,
I know, that fucked you over last time.
I really thought Becca was going to take it the whole time.
We should get an update, too, on Chris and Whitney at some point.
Oh, yeah, we'll look into it. All right, note for next week. We'll do some internet research and see how Chris and Whitney are doing in Iowa. You don't see my air quotes, but yeah, they're in Iowa.
I think Amy Schumer's going to be on the next episode, too.
Yep, we're super psyched about her. Yay. I want to plug something.
Go for it.
I have an essay up live right now on Okie Panky, I think is how it's pronounced. It's OkeyePanky.com. It's a new essay, and
it's amazing.
It's amazing, and I'm working on some other shit, I'm sure. And Megan has a book.
Yeah. my novel is Call Me Home. It is out from Hawthorne Press. My website is Megan Nicole Cruz, MEGAN NICOLE KRUSE.com. And we will be back to share more of our more of our insights and ramblings. And
Dorothy will be back with nothing to say.
I know, I miss Dorothy, but she really wasn't. She hasn't been pulling her weight.
Okay, we're gonna cut while we're still.
While we're still ahead.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone. We'll see you next week.